I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Congratulations to Cecil out there in spring. He won a Whitney Merciless full-sized helmet. Next helmet we're going to give away. We don't have many of these out there. Brandon Cooks, full-size helmet. All you got to do, listen tomorrow at 7:45 a.m. Payne and Pendergast, they'll provide you with a code word. And then you listen for the cue to call a little later on with Clint and Show, and you're going to win you a Brandon Cooks full-size helmet right here on the world's biggest pregame show, Sports Radio 610. DeAndre Hopkins, he wanted a new deal.
There you do.
He got that new deal, and he's a very rich man. The most money given to a non-quarterback ever, John Lopez. Hit me with the details.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, first of all, negotiated that deal himself and got shout-outs from Laremy Tunsil, who negotiated his own deal recently, and also from Kenny Stills, who another former Texan teammate. So DeAndre Hopkins getting that new deal. It's one of those things that for our purposes here in Houston, you realize why they didn't want to do it here and why it worked in Arizona. Because basically what they did is they made him the highest paid player, non-quarterback in NFL history. But what they did is they added 2-year extension. They can void the last year, and it would be $39 million for the next 2 years for DeAndre Hopkins. But these are the kinds of deals you can make when you don't have a quarterback. I mean, when you have a quarterback on a rookie contract. So the fact that Kyler Murray is still on a rookie contract gives them the room to be able to bring in that type of contract for DeAndre Hopkins. Couldn't do it here because you had, even though it's not going to kick in just yet, but you had to pay Deshaun Watson. So really good point on both sides for the Cardinals and for the Texans.
It's a 2-year extension.
$54.5 million total, but it can be voided the last year, and it'll be $39.5 total after that.
Which is good. About $42 million in signing bonus for Nuke. So congrats to Nuke. I don't think the Texans, it would have been in their best interest to give that deal.
Right.
I still think they probably could have got more for DeAndre Hopkins and at least not taken back the David Johnson contract. But congrats to Nuke. Wish you the very best, my man. It's going to be hard to watch the game on Thursday without seeing you, but at least you got some more money. Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a Tennessee Titan. You will see Jadeveon Clowney, hear Jadeveon Clowney twice right here on Sports Radio 610. It was a dramatic ending for Jadeveon Clowney. He chose the Tennessee Titans. The Saints tried to get a little bit creative, and of course, he was a Seahawk last year. We'll hear from the people that failed to land Jadeveon Clowney right now. Here's Pete Carroll first, his coach last season, talking about the process of trying to get Jadeveon Clowney back to Seattle.
You know, I talked to him throughout the process and stayed with him. We had really, you know, good amicable conversations about things, and he was just waiting the whole time, you know, he had his sights set really high to start with, and it just put him in a situation where he had to wait it out, and he didn't get, you know, the near the amount that he wanted. as it turned out. And our offers and stuff early on didn't look attractive to him, you know, and so because he had his mindset elsewhere. So, it was just a pretty normal process, but he just wasn't ready to make a call early on.
I mean, you could tell that he wanted this to play out the way it did the whole time. He ultimately got two teams bidding for his services, which led to a contract that could be worth $15 million. That's a pretty good payday for 1 year. It also puts him in a position where he's going to be motivated, big-time motivated, this year to go ahead and have a giant year, help the Titans get to where they want to go, and then get paid again.
Here's Sean Payton. Because the Saints try to get creative. They try to do a little bit of a sign and trade at the last minute. Here is Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints talking about how they tried to land the services of former Texans linebacker Jadeveon Clowney.
We felt like we got close. We weren't able to match the money, and that's one of the challenges each year when you're going after a player. You know, what type of space do you have? Mickey and Kai and those guys did a great job of really spending time with his representation. In the meantime, we had a good visit when we went out to see him. And it was one thought just creatively relative to having a team sign a player, take some of the financial burden away from the team they trade him to, and essentially then get a draft pick back. The first response we got really from the league was, we thought was fairly positive, and then ultimately they decided against it. So, you know, we move forward.
I mean, I give them an A for effort. They tried to get Clowney, and they tried to get creative, but can't trade money, not in the NFL.
Around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, world's biggest pregame show. So Newt got his bread. Jadeveon didn't necessarily get his bread, but he did get a new team. Reports are that Alvin Kamara is going to get a new contract very, very soon. Here was Alvin Kamara yesterday facing the media types for the first time since it was reported that he was holding out, then he wasn't holding out, then he had an injured back, then he didn't have an injured back, then he wasn't going to go to practice, then he was going to go to practice, then he was going to get traded, then he wasn't going to get traded. Then they were shopping offers, but they were just doing it because they were trying to find his value. Then all of a sudden he was back on the practice field. Here's Alvin Kamara after all that.
Alvin, will you be planning to play in every game that you're available with or without a new contract?
So we're getting ready for week one. Today was a good day. And I think we feel good about what was, you know, the light install today. And I think we're just ready for Sunday.
Next question.
I'm good. I think I know potentially where we're going. Thank you.
Hey, Alvin, just to make sure it's asked, is there anything you want to clear up about the reports of you holding out or unapproved absences or anything? Is there anything you want to clear up on any of those reports?
Not really. I ain't never held out in my life. That's about it. But
you were not purposely leaving over a contract dispute in your mind?
I came to the building every day. That's all I got to say.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
And by the way, Alvin Kamara now apparently close to a deal with the Saints, which is going to be quite lucrative, extremely close, according to Adam Schefter. Going to be quite lucrative, which is interesting. I mean, some people think that the Saints after this year are going to have to rebuild with Drew Brees, maybe.
Yeah, they're in cap hell.
Moving on, and they're up against the cap. So why would you pay a running back that much money when you're going to lose your franchise quarterback and kind of take a step back to rebuild?
They are in cap hell, to say the very least.
This is the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage with your Astros update.
Well, Astros have lost five straight. They are only up two games on the Mariners for second place, which gets you into the playoffs. 4.5 back of the A's. They're going to play two today starting at 5:10. That's the bad news.
There is good news.
The baseball messiah is back. Alex Bregman back in the lineup.
Baseball messiah.
For the Astros, he's batting second. Springer batting first. Bregman second. Brantley third. Yuli Gurriel fourth. Big Tuck fifth. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the lineup's supposed to look like. Jose, get your ass back in the lineup. They need you.
Grinky on the bump, and you kind of had a hunch that Bregman was going to play today. He tweeted out this morning, game day. So you kind of knew that he was ready to go. But it's going to be good. And by the way, 27 years ago today,
okay,
Daryl Kyle threw a no-hitter for the Houston Astros at the Astrodome.
Rest in peace, my man.
Daryl Kyle.
R.I.P. Let's go back around the NFL here on the world's biggest pregame show. Landry Locker, John Lopez. Earl Thomas still does not have a team. Cowboys waived HaHa Clinton Dix, which intensified the speculation that Dallas could be bringing in Earl Thomas, who's wanted to be there for a long, long time. Here's Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Nolan. Tell me what you think about what Mike Nolan said when he was pressed about Earl Thomas potentially joining the Cowboys defense.
Mike, there's been speculation about Earl Thomas and the Cowboys.
I'm sorry, the end of it got washed, but you asked about, say it again, you got the thing that messed up a little bit on me. The question.
Oh, okay, I was saying that Earl Thomas.
Oh, okay, Earl.
To the Cowboys.
Yeah,
Earl Thomas has been linked to the Cowboys.
Yeah, I have not had any conversations with Jerry or any of them about it. When it becomes serious, then maybe there'd be a conversation. But from as far as including me thus far, I have not.
Yeah, that's a tough one to decipher and decode. I have not had conversations with them about it. Doesn't mean that they're not interested, right?
And he also said when it gets serious. So does that mean the conversations
had? That means that it's maybe not so serious right now.
Yeah, I have no idea what to make of that. I think Earl Thomas ends up in Dallas. I think it's going to be after week one. There's some sort of stipulation There's something in contracts this year to where week one is the time when guys do come. J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was asked about his brother, T.J. Watt, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Texans are actually going to face the Steelers in the first quarter of the season. J.J. asked about T.J., who was ranked ahead of him on the NFL 100 list. A lot of people talking about T.J. potentially being defensive player of the year. Here's J.J. Watt yesterday talking about his little brother.
At what point in either your life or your football career did you stop seeing him as just your little brother and also like, oh, he's – kind of appear to me is at least on the football field.
Once he has 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, I'll see him as a peer.
Come on, JJ. Come on, man.
What do you expect? I'd do that if I had a little brother.
All-world defensive lineman JJ Watt.
We heard Peter King's predictions earlier today. His playoff seedings, Baltimore, Kansas City, Tennessee, Miami, division winners, wild card. He has Las Vegas, Buffalo, and the Indianapolis Colts. And in the AFC Championship, he has Baltimore over Tennessee, 27-22. His NFC tiers, Tier 1, New Orleans Saints, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, Dallas Cowboys, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tier 1. Tier 2, Minnesota and Philadelphia. And then Tier 3, he has Detroit, Green Bay, Arizona, and the L.A. Rams.
I hate that I just might have to pick the Cowboys on Thursday.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because the NFC playoff seeding per Peter King, he has the Dallas Cowboys as the team getting the bye out of the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
He has the 2 seed, the New Orleans Saints, followed by the Seattle Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings. He has San Francisco, Tampa Bay, and Detroit getting into the dance. His prediction for the NFC Championship game, who will Baltimore face in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
None other than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who topped the New Orleans Saints 23-17 and go on to win the Super Bowl, led by Tom Brady, 30-26 over the Baltimore
Ravens.
Yet
he has them as a wild card team, Tampa Bay, which is what we were talking about yesterday. I this is the kind of thing that you can do with this Texans team, you would hope, anyway. Maybe they start out slow, split these first two games, hopefully, anyway. Start out slow with a tough schedule early, but then get hot at the right time. That's what he has Tampa Bay doing.
He's picking Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl over Lamar Jackson. His MVP, by the way, Patrick Mahomes. Offensive Player of the Year, DeAndre Hopkins. Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire is his Offensive Rookie of the Year. Also fourth on his Offensive Player of the Year list. Those are Peter King's predictions. Sometimes they're wrong, but there is always a team that he kind of picks under the radar that ends up doing very well. A lot of people made fun of him for picking San Francisco last year.
Yeah.
He was right.
Miami this year?
He was absolutely right. Yeah, he might be wrong on that one. I don't know where I see. I could see him being okay, but 10 wins? I don't know about that, Peter. World's biggest pregame show here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez. Let's go live to NRG.
Okay.
Bill O'Brien's final words before Thursday night's game. And there is a weather report that is circulating around NRG. We could get some rain on Thursday. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien in just a sec.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, let's hear from B.O.B. Bill O'Brien. As if you don't have enough on your plate, now you might have to worry about the weather. You got the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champs. First game of the year, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. Hell, let's just throw in the special teams coordinator. Let's just go 3 for 3. 3 new coordinators for the Houston Texans. Got a full plate there, B.O.B. Very, very full plates. And we're going to take you up to kickoff here with 100 hours straight of pregame coverage here on the world's biggest pregame show. 54 hours is where we're at right now. Let's go live to NRG. You ready to go, Figgy? All right, let's go live to NRG. Let's hear from Bill O'Brien. The final time you'll hear from Bill O'Brien before Thursday's game. Let's just call this the last words. Next. Here it is.
Bill, there's the weather reports up there calling for rain all day. What kind of report are you guys getting, and what do you think that means for both teams considering the strength?
Well, we have a few weather experts in our organization. Well, they consider themselves weather experts. I won't really tell you who they are. And they tell me that last night it was good that we got out in the rain a little bit because there might be some rain. So, look, at the end of the day, how does that affect the game? You know, I think, you know, first game, there's going to be a lot of unknowns. And so when you add weather to that, you just try to do the best you can to train your team. If you have the opportunity to do that, you know, how to play in the rain. But both teams have to deal with it. So if that's the case, you know, both teams are going to have to deal with it.
The wide receiver position, how good do you feel about everything? You've had a lot of time together now to build some timing and chemistry just with the camp. Obviously, had the preseason games, but they've had a chance now to throw. How is it looking out there? And Brandon popped up on the injury report. If you could give us an update on Brandon, do you feel like he's good to go for the game?
I feel good about the wide receiver position. You know, look, this will be the first time that a lot of those guys have, you know, played in a game with Deshaun and Deshaun with them. So, you know, obviously there's some unknowns there, but they've practiced hard. I mean, they've done everything we've asked them to do. You know, relative to the injury report, you guys have it. You guys can interpret that the way you want to. You know, you'll see who takes the field when we take the field on Thursday night.
You talk about the challenges of game planning for a guy like Travis Kelce.
Seems like we've been playing against these guys and Travis for a long time. And he's just a great player. I mean, he's very instinctive, very athletic. He's got great hands, excellent route runner. He can block. He's one of the best in our league. We have tremendous respect for him. You know, in the end, you know, he's gonna have some catches. I mean, that's just, you know, that's football. That's the passing game and the rules with which we all have to play under. You know, he's gonna get his catches, but you know, we have to do a good job of tackling him and making sure we know where he is. But on every play, but he's a great player.
You've coached in huge playoff games before. I mean, this team is obviously played in much bigger games. It's just week one, but at the same time, you know that the entire country is going to be watching this in a lot of ways week by week. It's an experiment because of the coronavirus pandemic. How do you balance that, knowing what is really at stake big picture with this game and this season versus dealing with everything you have to do to try to you know, get out of Kansas City with a victory?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I mean, it's one that we've thought about a lot. I mean, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning. It's early in the season. It's the first game of an unprecedented year. Even guys like Romeo Crennel, who have been in the league forever, they will tell you they've never seen anything like this, where you had no preseason games, no offseason program. There's a lot of unknowns in the first game in a normal year, and there's definitely unknowns, obviously, in this year. You know, look, our guys are excited about it. They feel good about where they are right now from a conditioning standpoint relative to early in the season. They've worked hard. They've done everything we've asked them to do. And now it's going to come down to, like, I think like it always does, you know, who is the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, that can play the smartest on a consistent basis and, you know, can stay the healthiest throughout the game, all those different things. And that's what we're going to try to do. We know we're going into a tough environment, a weird environment, really, because of no fans or, you know, not as many fans and, you know, the whole thing. So it's going to be interesting, but our guys, you know, they're excited about the opportunity.
Going into the season, what are your final thoughts on David Johnson, and how much do you believe he will have a bounce back season this upcoming year?
Yeah, I don't get into bounce back seasons. I mean, this guy's been a very productive player in this league. I mean, he's an excellent football player. He's had a really good training camp for us. He's an even better person. He's been a great addition to our locker room, very professional. I think it's really good when you have all these guys in your locker room that the young players can really look towards as great examples. And so, you know, look, David's going to go out there. He's going to play a good game. He's going to play hard. He's going to try to do everything, you know, the right way. And hopefully that's something that is that our team is looking for, and you know, he'll continue to do that.
Bill, you don't see many playoff teams have three new coordinators, and we've talked to you about Anthony and Tim a lot, but Tracy stepping up for Brad Seeley, and in that last game, special teams make great plays to help you lead, and they make bad plays contribute to victory. I mean, the loss. Can you talk about where you are special team-wise right now?
Feel good about where we are. You know, guys have really carved out some roles early in the season there. You'll see that on Thursday night. We have a good core group of players. We have guys that can run, guys that love special teams. Tracy's a good teacher. He's got them, you know, in the right spots with where we believe they need to be relative to the first game. And, you know, we're going against a really good special teams unit led by a really good coach and Dave Tube. So, you know, we know there's a big challenge in front of us. You know, they have Butker, the kicker. Is an excellent kicker, Hardeman the returner. I mean, they've got a lot of good special teams players. So, you know, we need to be up to the challenge, but our guys are excited about it.
You know, with Tyreek Hill and his speed and not being the only fast guy they have, just what do you think about them in terms of vertical threats, the main three guys they have outside? Thank you.
Yeah, they can fly. I mean, they can fly. And be a lot of speed in this game. Be a lot of speed. You know, a lot of guys on the field that can run on both sides of the ball relative to their positions, wide receivers that can run, linebackers that can run, DBs that can run, defensive linemen that can run. You know, so it's going to be a game with a bunch of guys out there that are really good athletic football players. So I think it's going to be exciting to watch.
Bill, I don't know if the word comfort zone is right, but every year you go into a season, and do you find a comfort zone for yourself about everything you're having to worry about, all the zillion things going around you? With this year being so unprecedented, were you able to reach that comfort zone going into the first game like you have in previous years?
I don't think I understand what you're trying to ask, but I don't, you know, this is a league in which you can never be comfortable, right? I mean, I think as a coach and a player, you're always trying to think about, you know, what's next? What are you doing right for your team? What's the best decision for the team? You know, personally for me, I just have great people around me that helped me in the role that I have, players and coaches and staff. You know, obviously we talked a lot about Jack Easterby. I mean, the guy's just done an unbelievable job here and just been a really great guy in our organization. And, you know, then the coaching staff and the scouting staff, and then most importantly, the players. The players have really come in here and worked hard. So, you know, I think relative to where we are in the beginning of the season, we're all excited about it. We know it's a big challenge. We know we're playing the Super Bowl champs from last year, and it's a big challenge. So, but our guys can't wait to, you know, try to meet that challenge.
Hey, could you describe the conflict and trying to decide whether to rush Patrick Mahomes or to keep your guys in coverage and to support the back end of the defense?
It's tough. It's a tough deal. I mean, it's he is a very instinctive player. Deshaun is a very instinctive player. They're probably having same types of things that they have to think about on their, you know, on their defense, you know, because both these guys are so instinctive. And, you know, if you let them, you know, if you don't rush them and you let them stand back there, you know, they're going to hurt you. If you do rush them and you fly by them, they're going to break out and scramble and make plays down the field. So, you know, look, it's a fine line, and we're going to do the best we can, try to line up and play each play and try to adjust during the game. But it's a very, very challenging game.
He just said it's a winning league. Tell me a league that's not a winning league. Like, I've heard 8-8 league, it's a winning league. Like, is there any coach that goes up there, you know, it's a losing league? What the hell does that mean?
I didn't even
it's a winning
that.
League? Coach. B.O.B.
He's getting into,
can you hear me down there?
He's rounding into shape for the regular season.
Can you hear me down there, coach? It's a winning league.
Oh, boy.
As opposed to what? Winning league? What the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Goodness, Bill O'Brien. Good night. Winning league. Show me a losing league. 713-572-4610. My.
How's that for an answer?
Terrible. Well, terrible. Winning league. Mm-hmm. Let's help some kids.
Let's help out some kids.
Let's help some kids. Through the end of the week, we're going to team up with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and their My Home Library campaign. Could I interest you in a stats?
Yes.
One out of every four third graders do not meet reading standards here in H-Town. 61%, here's a bonus stat, 61% of low-income families have no books in their homes. Let's help change that, because when kids don't have books in their home, when they're behind, they're fighting an uphill battle. That's basically what you're doing. You're fighting an uphill battle. You're going into school, and you're not on the same page with the other kids, and that can be discouraging. It can set you back, and it can set you back not just in that moment, but in life as a whole. But today, you can make a difference, and we can make a change here. A $30 donation, J-Lo, provides a kid with six books of their choice. It makes them excited about reading. It gives them a chance to read at the highest level. It gives them a chance to
today
not be embarrassed.
Is the first day of school in person for a lot of school districts. I think it's appropriate that this is coinciding with that, because we always talk about help a teacher, or thank a teacher. Let's help a teacher. Just text to 41444. Just text HTX Reads to 41444. I did it. A lot of people have done it. And it's easy to do. Take less than a minute to donate $30, $50, $100 or more. And with that money, kids are going to get books that they choose, and you're going to help a teacher.
Say it one more time for me, J-Lo. 41444.
Text HTX Reads to 41444.
Let's help out the kids. Courtesy of the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and your friends at Sports Radio 610. So we're going to have a game in 2 days. That's going to be very, very significant. It is going to be Bill O'Brien's opportunity to show that he truly is king, that he truly has this organization headed in the right direction. But it's also the anniversary of probably the most anticipated opener in the history of Houston football. We'll discuss next.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the Kickoff Countdown. We're less than 54 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
All right. Got a big Texans game in 2 days. One of the most anticipated in franchise history. Not the most anticipated.
Nope.
But today marks the anniversary of the most anticipated. And luckily, because J-Lo is the OG.
I am the OG.
He can take us back in time and talk about what it was like when football returned to H-Town.
It was pretty dang incredible. That's what it was like. It was a long, long wait. It was a long, tough fight for Bob McNair. It's from 1999 to about 2002 when they played that game against the Dallas Cowboys. I really got to know Bob McNair the best, because I was traveling with him to all the NFL meetings, to all the events at the Super Bowl. They had a presentation, and it was kind of like they kind of, you know, sicked me on the NFL, the new NFL. Possibilities.
You were the newspaper biatch.
I was kind of that beat guy, even though it wasn't necessarily a beat.
Oh, versatile.
But anytime something happened.
You were versatile.
Yeah, I was versatile. Anytime something happened, I would go. So I really got to know him. And I just knew how important that night was for him. Win or lose, man. I mean, win or lose, you're playing the Dallas Cowboys. This city had been craving football like crazy. You got beat up bad by the Dallas Cowboys in an inter-squad practice that week, I think on the Monday or Sunday before the game, like embarrassing you, talking trash, telling you how garbage your roster was, how garbage your team was. David Carr in his first ever game as an NFL quarterback, and then this happened.
An incredible win for the Texans, a staggering loss for the Dallas Cowboys.
David Carr gave the ball to the official. He says, no, can I have that back, please?
Well,
What a game. I mean,
what a night for Houston, guys.
It really was. It was a great game to watch and do.
What a night for Houston. One thing just keeps coming back to me when I went into the Texans locker room after that game. Texas Tech's Marcus Coleman. Remember Marcus Coleman?
Got caught with a rifle in his car one time.
He did. But he was in the middle of some of those skirmishes in the Sunday or Monday scrimmage.
Shocker.
With the Cowboys, when the Cowboys just worked them. And then the Texans beat them 19-10. Billy Miller with the first ever touchdown for the Houston Texans. Marcus Coleman was standing in front of his locker.
Oh, God.
Screaming.
Know where this is going.
I'm walking by, and he looks at me, and he didn't call me by name. I don't think he even knew who I was. He just knew I worked here, you know. And he goes, "Hey, you tell the Cowboys they just got beat by Baylor. They just got beat by Baylor." Because that's when Baylor stunk. So we went and obviously mentioned that to Emmett Smith and the gang over there afterwards. And Emmett was not a happy camper.
No, he was miserable that whole era. I mean, he was really just kind of...
Well, great night. Great night. And that anniversary is today. 19 years ago today. 18?
You tell me. 18. You were there, sir.
18 years ago today.
You tell me. It's kind of sad that that's still one of the...
I agree with you.
I just feel like when you look at the Cowboys were 5-11 three straight years there. They were trash.
Yeah,
they were awful. I mean that was one of that as far as, and I mean Clint was there, so he knows. That's the worst ran organization over a 3-year period in NFL history. When it comes to GM, that was when Jerry was trading two first rounders for Joey Galloway. They were in salary cap hell. Troy was retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Irvin had already retired.
Emmett the offensive was on his last retired. Legs.
Emmett was just chasing records. Emmett said that – Emmett had a quote about that team mm-hmm. that he played with. He said he was a diamond surrounded by trash.
I mean, he wasn't wrong.
This is an exact quote of Emmett, diamond surrounded by trash.
Let me add one more thing about that team, because if I had to put a gun to your head, no Googling,
please
Figgy.
Please don't do that.
No Googling.
What's wrong with you?
No Googling anybody. That was win number one.
Yeah.
How many more wins have there been? Regular season wins. How many? Just off the top of your head. In 18, entering year 19, how many more year wins have there been in the regular season for the Houston Texans? Just guess.
For that season?
No, total.
What, total?
That was win number one.
146.
I'm gonna say 90.
130. Their record right now is 131, 157, and 0. No ties for the Houston Texans, which is a little bit interesting.
It's like kissing your sister. They don't want to kiss their sister. But it just does seem like there should be a win that we point to outside of that. But when you put that side by side by the other ones, it still stands, even though the Cowboys were so bad. It was nice to have football back. I get the symbolism of it, but I just feel like they need that. They need that.
Patriots last
guys.
Year was a good one.
Yeah, but they were dying.
No, I understand that.
That was like beating your 65-year-old dad in basketball.
Every once in a while we have this discussion, greatest wins in Texans history, and it's still on the list, and it should not be, is my point. After 18 years, going into year 19, the Cowboys' inaugural victory, the Texans' inaugural win over the Cowboys should not be on the list, but it is.
World's biggest pregame show here on Sports Radio 610. Now, you know the good news.
The good news is what?
We're talking about wins, and we're talking about big wins, and we're talking about anniversaries. We're talking about big events. There's a big event coming up on Thursday. It's a big game for the Texans. At least they have a head coach / GM who understands that it is a winning league.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning. It's early in the season. It's the first game of an unprecedented year. Even guys like Romeo Crennel, who have been in the league forever, they will tell you they've never seen anything like this, where you had no preseason games, no offseason program. There's a lot of unknowns in the first game in a normal year, and there's definitely unknowns, obviously, in this year. You know, look, our guys are excited about it. They feel good about where they are right now from a conditioning standpoint relative to early in the season. They've worked hard. They've done everything we've asked them to do. And now it's going to come down to, like, I think like it always does, you know, who is the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, that can play the smartest on a consistent basis. And, you know, can stay the healthiest throughout the game, all those different things. And that's what we're going to try to do. We know we're going into a tough environment, a weird environment, really, because of no fans or, you know, not as many fans and, you know, the whole thing. So it's going to be interesting, but our guys, you know, they're excited about the opportunity.
I'm confused by what exactly it's a winning league is supposed to mean. I mean,
it's about winning.
Play the beginning of that again, Figgy. Play the beginning.
I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning. It's early in the season. It's the first game of an unprecedented year. Even guys like.
It's a league about winning.
It's a league about winning.
No kidding.
Unlike all the other
leagues.
No
kidding.
Unlike all the other leagues, Landry. The NFL is a league about winning.
Okay. What league is about losing? 713-572-4610. Let's go to Loophole Christmas Melvin. Mel, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Losing league? XFL. You know that.
Okay. There you go. That's something nobody's talking about. Although
nobody's talking about guys.
Last time I saw, Houston was undefeated in the XFL.
Champions. Champions, baby.
Wait, they didn't crown them, did they?
No, I did.
Yeah. Is that going to come back, by the way? Is The Rock going to bring that
I
back?
I think so, man. I really do. I think it is.
Okay. We'll see what happens there. Winning league. Thank you
very winning
much.
League.
I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go. Why does he say stuff like that? Like he's saying something like...
profound.
Yeah, I like Bill O'Brien, but I mean, damn, what are you telling me there?
It's about winning. Come on now. Get on board. Get on board with this, Landry.
No, really. Like, explain it to me, John.
I'm
not trying to be trite. I'm not trying to be stupid.
I know you're not.
I'm being serious. Like, explain to me what I'm supposed to take.
Let me tell you what I think happened. It was just kind of a verbal crutch, you know, by
winning.
Because he has those crutches. He's got relative to... he's got tough, smart, dependable. He's got good teammate. I think this is just one of his crutches that we all have. I mean, we all have our little, you know, go-to isms, if you will. And his was, it's a league about winning.
I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning.
Okay.
I mean, he's right. He's not wrong.
I mean, but really, like, if you're gonna mansplain football to me, like. Mm-hmm. Give me something else. I mean, if that's the rocket science I'm getting,
yeah.
What exactly are we talking about here? Yeah. It's a league about winning.
It is. Get on board with it.
At the end of the day, you know, you got to score more points than the other team. I mean, that's really the goal. You know, we can sit here, we can prepare week to week, we can get ready. You know, OTAs, running those extra laps and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about winning or losing. That's what this league is about.
It
How
is.
Many games do
it
you
is.
Win?
See, welcome on board.
How many games do you lose? That's what we're talking about here. All right, we're going to go to Kansas City, and they're a good football team. We're a good football team, and, you know, we're going to try to score more points than them. And at the end of the day, there's a team that wins, and there's a team that loses, and the team that wins is going to be happy. And that's what this league is all about. It's a winning league. Thanks, Coach.
Yep, it is.
Thanks, Coach. Can you talk about your offensive coordinator, please? Who, by the way, Tim Kelly. How the heck does Tim Kelly find out that he's going to be calling plays after the Loopholes? Shout out to the Loopholes if you listen, you're a Loophole. And John Lopez, Landry Locker, and Figgy Fig. We were eating crawfish.
Yeah, man, I missed that.
When Bill O'Brien spoke at the Combine.
We were with our listeners.
He said that Tim Kelly was going to call plays. And Tim Kelly said yesterday that, or 2 days ago, that was when he found out that he was going to call plays. His phone blew up. He got a bunch of texts. And that was the moment where Tim Kelly said that he knew that he was going to be calling plays for the Houston Texans.
That doesn't seem ideal to me. It doesn't seem as official. When you have that big of an event in a coach's life, And in your life, in terms of, you know, you're giving up the reins. If you really are giving up the reins to the play calling, you don't just casually say it in the midst of a combine press conference while the guy who's calling the plays, you haven't told him yet. And he finds out from
John,
his phone blowing up.
He's been with him 10 years
yeah.
as a grad assistant. He's been with him since he's been here with the Texans for six. And you're telling me that the moment you decide he's going to call plays, he doesn't even know till you say it at the combine. That would honestly be like the Chiefs who just got their Super Bowl rings. That would be like Pat Mahomes, mm-hmm. who got his Super Bowl ring and then proposed to his girlfriend who he's been with since high school afterwards. That'd be like Pat Mahomes doing an interview and going, yeah, I'm really happy to be a Super Bowl champion. You know, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend tonight, and, you know, we're going to see what happens.
And she's like, wait, what?
Oh, okay.
Guess awesome. I need to dress up.
Yeah. It makes the Correa girl sound or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Like, it's how did Tim Kelly not know this before?
Yeah, it's a little bit unnerving to me. I'm just being honest because he also said this week, Bill O'Brien, that he was asked specifically about.
He said it's not a big deal.
Well, he was asked specifically about what's it going to be like now that you've given up the play calling to, and I'm paraphrasing the exact question, to Tim Kelly. And he was pretty much going, I'll still be around. I'll still be involved.
He said it's not a big deal.
Wait, what?
That's the exact quote. It's not a big deal.
I didn't need to hear that.
That was exactly what he said.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge deal. You think he'll get jealous?
If, like, all of a sudden it blows those up and they look like the greatest show on turf?
What if Tim Kelly is just the toast of the league? What if 4 weeks into the year we're talking about a 3-1 Texans team? We're talking about Deshaun Watson with 13 touchdown passes, just a perfect QBR, taking the league by storm like Lamar Jackson, running the rock, throwing the rock.
Yep.
Just the toast of the league. Oh, my gosh. And we're having debates. Debate shows are who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, or Deshaun Watson?
Where's Tim Kelly going to be coaching next year?
Who is Tim Kelly going to be coaching? Is Tim Kelly going to be the guy that Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jags
Texans offense is in line to break all of Mike Martz's records?
Do you think B.O.B. gets jealous of that?
Yes. I mean, wouldn't you? That's not a criticism. You know, Bill O'Brien would be like, I'm standing right here, man. It's my offense.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think you get jealous and you, what do you do? You
nothing.
Just sit there and
well,
take it?
Well, most people would do nothing. I don't know what he would do. But no, it's human nature. Absolutely. Hey, that Landry Locker, man. What a show he puts on. I'm sitting right here. Figgy's sitting right there.
Dude. What if Tim Kelly is like God's gift to offense? And what if the Texans go 13-3, Deshaun's MVP, AFC championship game run, everything's great, and all of a sudden the season ends, and Tim Kelly leaves.
Oh, what if this?
How do you feel?
That exactly. Yeah, they go 13-3. Bill O'Brien, by the end of the year, doesn't even have a headset on. You know, he's just sitting there with his arms crossed like Tom Landry, you know, puts on a fedora.
Damn, rest in peace.
I know.
Sorry about the disrespect.
It's not disrespect.
My goodness.
He was a manager. He was a CEO. Good
Lord, can we dump that? My gosh.
It's not disrespectful.
Good Lord.
And
my
so
namesake,
by
man.
The end of the year, he's were you named after Tom Landry?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be dog. Yeah. How about that?
Not like in a not in like an obsessive way, but yeah, my parents liked
they
the name
liked
and
the
they
name.
And they liked what he stood for. They
well, he was
they
a
liked,
great man.
They liked his integrity. So
one of my all-time favorite early interviews. I within a span, can I tell you a story?
You can.
I'll tell you a story. All right.
Tell me a story, OG.
So 1982, I'm working at the Battalion School newspaper.
Okay.
All right. New coach comes in, hot shot named Jackie Sherrill. I get to meet Jack Sherrill a couple of times. I find out he's going to have this alumni football game.
Okay.
All the old Aggies, you know, former students come in, and they're going to play against the varsity in a spring game, you know. They're even bringing in Bear Bryant.
Okay.
So at 20 years old, and I had an interview scheduled the next week with Tom Landry for something altogether different. I think it was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes thing he was doing College Station. So in a 1 week span, I interviewed one-on-one, mind you, Bear Bryant and then Tom Landry. I mean, talk about where do you go from there in terms of coaching interviews? I interviewed Bear Bryant and Tom Landry in the span of a week. It was all downhill from
Pretty
there.
Impressive.
It was all downhill from
well,
there.
Well, I mean, you just said Tom Landry is basically a statue. So.
Well, I respected the guy.
You did. Now that he's gone, he kind of hiked your leg on his grave.
And then B.O.B. goes, yeah, I know Tim Kelly took off to take that Jacksonville job, but I'll be back on control of the offense next year.
I got you. Yeah, I got you guys covered.
Mm-hmm.
It is the world's biggest pregame show. It don't stop. We might be taking a little breather, but this world's biggest pregame show don't stop. Clint and Ron are going to keep this rolling. We're going to talk to you tomorrow at 10. Lots to get into. Andre Johnson, 6 o'clock on the Texans' new offense. 9 o'clock, revisiting the game against the Buffalo Bills in which Deshaun Watson spun out, found Tywan Jones, Kyahmi Fairbairn kicked it in. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, shout out to Dick Vermeil. Stacked show tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. But keep it locked because the world's biggest pregame show continues next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.